TalkZone.com.
TalkZone presents the Geek Speak Radio Show with your hosts, Henry and Romo. Your top spot for everything entertainment and pop culture, including TV, movies, comics, casting news, and more. Now, here are your hosts, Henry and Romo.
And here we are. Welcome back to the Geek Speak Radio Show. Had a lot of honey. Hopefully I'll make it through this hour without coughing into the microphone. So we talked about tech news, talked about our adventures at the Cartoon Art Museum, and these boys' adventures at the Expendables and with Scott Pilgrim. That didn't sound right, but you know what I meant. They liked it, I guess. Romo's speechless, but...
But in a good way.
Yeah.
You released a sneeze?
So yeah, now, let's go over to the movies. Let's go to the movies. Well, movies and some TV shows and some just comics, all the stuff we like, in other words, all the stuff you guys like out there. So let's start off with one of my favorite TV shows and movies, Star Trek.
All right, let's go.
Just coincidence, yeah, I have a model of the Enterprise here on the board today. But Harv Bennett, you guys may not remember him, but those of you who grew up watching the original cast in the movies, you know the name Harv Bennett very well. He is... the one responsible for the best of all the Star Trek movies, the original ones, that is The Wrath of Khan.
All right.
Because Paramount went to him and said, "What'd you think of the motion picture?" And he flat out said it was boring. And so they said, "All right, fine, come up with something new." And he did. He came out with The Wrath of Khan, and the rest, as they say, is history. So he's 80 years old now, retired, obviously, but StarTrek.com, they recently did an interview with him. Mm-hmm. It's posted up on their website, StarTrek.com, but I took some excerpts from it. And they asked him first about something that I found pretty interesting, because I had heard about this. I didn't know all the details till I read this interview. He had come up with a script for a new TV show. This is during the motion picture run. I think it happened between 4 and 5. He came up with a script for a new Star Trek TV series called Star Trek the Academy Years, which is his idea was to go back in time using the original, you know, Kirk, Spock, and all the crew, but going back in time, showing them when they first started, using younger actors.
Yeah, kind of like what JJ did.
Yeah, matter of fact, he had John Cusack in mind to play Spock, and he wanted Ethan Hawke to play Kirk.
I can't see that, but that'd be cool.
Yeah, so this was going to be happening at the same time as the movie. So on the big screen, the original crew was going to be having their adventures there. On the small screen, you would have been seeing the beginning of their adventures with that TV show, the Academy Years. And he went to Paramount with it. Paramount said no, because at the time it was the 25th anniversary of the original crew, so they decided that they wanted something big for the whole crew, the original crew. So what they did, Paramount said no to his script, and they did The Undiscovered Country, which, as everybody knows now, it's pretty much the goodbye to the original crew, which is why it ends with all of them with their autographs coming up on the screen as the credits roll.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I'm glad that didn't happen in the last Star Wars, because that would have just completely made it not real at all. Not that it is real, but you know what I mean. So he did that. Now, a few years went by back in the 90s. Paramount came back. Sherry Lansing, who was then in charge of Paramount, came back to him and said, "Hey, did you have an idea about doing a younger Star Trek series with younger actors?" And he said, "Yeah, tell me about it. What are you two doing?"
"Oh, we're just fighting."
Like always.
He's violent.
But Sherry Lansing, from head of Paramount back then, she came to Harv Bennett and said, "Hey, tell me about this idea that you had about the younger Star Trek crew." Because by then, you know, obviously the original crew had been done. The next generation crew, which Angel knows and you guys probably watched, they were already in their big screen and small screen adventures. And so they wanted to rejuvenate the Star Trek TV series, and they came to him with that. And he said, "Okay, well, I'll tell you about it." And he told her about it. 2-3 weeks later, Paramount came back to him and again said, "Nah, we're going to pass, because we came up with our own." It was called Enterprise.
All All right.
Yeah, how'd that work out for you? So I found this interesting only because, like you said, JJ did pretty much the same thing a few years later. Well, actually, almost a millennium later.
Yeah.
And now we're anxiously waiting what's going to happen in Star Trek 2 or number 12, as you wish to call it.
I mean, I think it would have been interesting to have that series, the Academy series, because I'm starting to get into the original Star Trek, and it's good, but I keep wondering, I want to know before, what happened before.
Well, you got to watch Star Trek now, this one right here.
Well, is there a Star Trek TV show now?
No.
No.
I mean, there hasn't been one in a while.
Enterprise was the last one. That lasted, I think, two episodes, and that's about it.
I think there's a big generation for younger kids. I think they should bring it back to the television screen so that people could get
back. Well, yeah, I mean, Paramount owes a big debt of gratitude to J.J. Damon and company for what they did with Star Trek.
I mean, they revived the fan base for Star Trek.
Speaking of, Damon Lindelof, you know that name?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, Lost, co-creator with J.J. Yeah. And also a producer of the new Star Treks with J.J. He tweeted the other day, speaking of Star Trek, he says that he's looking to The Dark Knight as an inspiration for the tone for this next Star Trek, for the sequel to the new Star Trek.
Wow.
Now, it doesn't mean that he's going to bring Heath Ledger or anything like that. What it does mean is that he wants to make it more, for the fans, but it can also stand alone as a movie.
Yeah, he wants a lot of drama. He wants it to be serious.
Yeah. And I agree with, we had Rod Roddenberry on not too long ago. He said that, it didn't keep in the spirit of the original series, which was, it's in the opening credits, the boldly go where no one has gone before.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of the adventure, the exploration in it. It was just a lot of shoot 'em up, a lot of action stuff, which is understandable for today's audience. But there is a huge built-in audience for Star Trek, who a lot of them, and I talked to them, a lot of them were not satisfied with JJ's, but another good friend of mine and also happens to be a very real Star Trek fan, also original Star Trek fan. He said that if you slap the name Star Trek on anything, we'll go. And he's right. So, yeah, we weren't happy with it, but it's Star Trek. So, yeah, we're there. For this one, I mean, there's been a lot of rumors about we want Khan to be in it. And we're talking about Richard Alpert.
How old is he?
Nestor Carbonell to play him. Well, in this one, it doesn't matter because it's a whole new alternate reality, plus they're younger.
Oh, so they're going to bring back the character, but just a younger version of him.
Yeah.
So
now, if you do that, and I'm glad Damon hasn't, or anybody, not JJ, no one has mentioned that, because if you go that route, you're setting yourself up for failure. Because
there's only one Khan.
Well, yeah, now. But you're going to be compared to one of the greatest Star Trek movies, which is The Wrath of Khan. And you already set yourself up for literally whatever you want to, wherever you want to take it, JJ can take it right now. He has carte blanche right now from the fans to take it literally wherever he wants. So why would you go and set yourself up for failure by redoing sort of a Wrath of Khan kind of thing?
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's a classic. Do not touch it.
Yeah.
Leave it alone. Come up with your own original idea. All right.
So here's what I would ask, Damien, Angel. You guys try to get Damon on, or JJ even. Here's what I would ask him is, what are you planning on doing? Because I know Damon's busy with Cowboys and Aliens right now. JJ's busy with Undercover, Super Raid, and some other things that I can't mention yet. So I would ask him, what do you want to do with it? What do you want to do with Star Trek? Because like I said, you really have carte blanche. You can take it wherever you want. But just be careful with it, because there is a huge fan base out there that is very fickle. You do the wrong thing, and they will turn on you in a second. So you got to be careful with what you do with it. So that'd be interesting to talk to them about that. Now, speaking of fickle audiences, you're one of them. Marvel.
Yeah.
Marvel Studios are going ahead. They announced not too long ago they're doing Doctor Strange. It's already been announced that the script is being written. You ever heard of Iron Fist?
Sort of, yeah.
The comic book. What do you remember about it?
Really, just the fact that the guy has a green yellow suit. He has one fist that glows and he's able to project stuff out of it. Not really that much. I mean, he's a secondary character. I'm not really knowledgeable in him.
Yeah, well, he created Luke Cage eventually created the Heroes for Hire.
Yeah.
And then they were also very, very big players in the Civil War story arc that happened, in the comic books.
Yeah.
Which was, if you don't remember, like Romo obviously doesn't, and the one person out there who doesn't remember, welcome back. How was your trip to Mars? But what happened during the Civil War story arc is that ironically led by Tony Stark, right around the time when the Iron Man movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tony Stark and Iron Man were not very popular characters at the time.
Yeah.
Because they were pretty much a villain. They weren't doing evil things, but he was pretty much considered a villain. Because what happened is, Tony Stark in the comic book world, Tony Stark is the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. now.
Yeah.
And he tried to pass what's called the Superhero Registration Act,
mm-hmm.
which meant every superhero in the Marvel Universe is required to reveal their identity to the world.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And matter of fact, the big one was mine, Peter Parker, revealed himself.
And hey, backfiring I'm Peter Parker.
Yeah. And leading that was Tony Stark and this guy here, Iron Fist. You're looking at a picture of him there.
Yeah.
Iron Fist and Luke Cage. They figured big in this thing. Now, the thing is, no script is, actually they hired the, I forget his name. He wrote Triple X, the one with,
Vin Diesel.
Yeah. He wrote that movie, the first one. Marvel hired him to write the script for this one. But no stars attached yet, no storyline attached yet. We just know that much. It's in development. But my question would be is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to tie it into the Avengers and Captain America and all the movies that are out there? Because this is the second movie under the House of Mouse banner. Because as you know, Disney bought Marvel, and they're financing these two movies.
Do you think they're just doing it just because they want to just make money and just put it out there?
Well, when they bought Marvel, Disney did say in their press release that they are going to start turning out a lot of smaller,
straight
to DVD and TV shows. As a matter of fact, I want to get Jeff Loeb on here and talk to him about that, what plans they have for that, because everybody wants to know. These obviously are going straight to the big screen, not the little screen.
Yeah.
But again, are they going to tie into Iron War. Man, Avengers, all of those things?
Maybe the Civil War.
Or even what I think is maybe they'll see how Avengers do, and then they'll make their decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of money on the line.
I mean, you can make a lot of money just on the storylines themselves on these superheroes. People would want to see Iron Fist in movie theaters, Doctor Strange, of course, maybe Scarlet Witch. You never know, but...
See, here's the thing, though. Who would you have play Doctor Strange? Because for a long, long time, Robert Downey Jr. was who everybody wanted to play Doctor Strange, because he kind of looks like Doctor Strange.
I have no idea. I don't know.
But of course, now you can't see him as anything but Tony Stark.
Yeah, because he did so well.
So who should do Doctor Strange?
Huh.
And for this, Iron Fist, who would you cast as Iron Fist?
Me?
You.
Right?
Do your own stunts?
Yeah, I do my own stunts.
You sneeze too?
Yeah, I sneeze. I could act. I'm not.
That's a highlighted skill right there.
Put the light on me and I'll be clapping.
Sneeze on cue.
Okay, before we go somewhere where we don't want the show to go, let's take a break. Let's calm Romo down. And when we come back, we'll continue with more news of the day.
GeekSpeak Radio Show. We'll be right back. And now, back to the GeekSpeak Radio Show on TalkZone.com. Here's Henry and Romo.
And we're back on the GeekSpeak Radio Show, talking news of the day, movie news, comic news, all kinds of news you hear right now. So, we were talking about Doctor Strange, who can play him. We were having a little conversation here, who can play Doctor Strange. Of course, Robert Downey Jr. was mentioned not too long ago, but he can't do it now. Dave, our producer, he says Bradley Cooper would make a good Iron Fist.
What about Benicio del Toro for Doctor Strange?
Maybe.
I can see that already happening. Do you have an opinion?
Actually, Bradley Cooper, going back to what Dave was saying, Bradley Cooper, there was an article, I forget where I saw it not too long ago, they have been looking to cast him in some superhero movie. So this could be the one, Bradley Cooper's agent.
But what movie has he been in? I can't put the face to the name.
A-Team.
Oh, The Hangover.
Will Tippin and Alias.
Yeah. That'd be a good kid. Yeah, he could do it. I think he'd do a good job at it.
He would sell with the women.
Plus, he's sort of up and down. He's almost not quite Betty White or Chloe Moretz hotness right now, but he's almost there. This depends on how they do it. This movie could set him over the top.
Yeah.
But we'll see. A-Team sure didn't do it, so maybe he can do it with this one. So, who did you say?
Benicio del Toro.
Yeah, for Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Who would you say, Angel?
It's, I was going to say Edward James Olmos.
What?
I can see that, actually.
Antonio Banderas. But I like Edward. He was good in Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, because of that, he definitely has geek cred now.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, I can see that, actually. Let's move on. Hobbit news. The Hobbit news, I should say.
All right.
Sort of. Okay. Peter Jackson says that MGM is proceeding along fine with their financial situation, so we should have some good news on The Hobbit soon. Basically means no news yet. Spyglass, as we mentioned a few weeks ago, Spyglass is looking to help MGM. They're looking to pay for the debt and everything else. Spyglass is more interested in picking up the Bond franchise and making it theirs. But if they do help them, that it could, they'll still have to declare bankruptcy.
Yeah.
MGM, that is. But the movies, the projects that they have
are going to be surviving.
Yeah. Like The Hobbit is the biggest one. The Bond franchise, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
There was one, I forget what it was, I read it this morning. That was just canceled because of their problems. So Peter Jackson says there's good news, sort of, and not good news. So the only news he has is MGM appears to be making good progress with its financial situation. Pretty complicated. I'm not going to get into it. I tried to explain it the day we got to that, but I'm not going to try it now. I'll have Angel do it because she loves math.
Oh, dear.
Thanks, C-3PO. Okay, so let's go on. When I say this, What does this remind you guys of? Whoa.
Joey from Blossom.
No.
No.
Oh.
That's whoa.
No,
oh.
It's actually Keanu Reeves.
Oh.
Yeah, he's mentioned as a possible lead in Mark Mann's in the Generation
Generation
Yeah, it's a movie. It's going to start filming in New York City September 9th, so in a couple of weeks. And Keanu Reeves may be tapped to play the lead in that one.
Huh.
Don't ask me what it's about. That doesn't say much. Oren Moverman's Rampart is going to start Woody Harrelson and Ice Cube. That's scheduled to begin filming late in October in Los Angeles.
That's cool.
Also.
What?
Saved your allowance?
Wait, what?
Have you saved your allowance?
Yeah, why?
How about Romo?
I have enough money. It's all right.
How about Damien? It's $20 for a movie per person in your budget.
What movie are we talking about?
Every movie.
No.
It depends on the movie.
If it's in 3D depending on where you go and see if it's in IMAX.
Or even if Netflix can get the movies in theaters on Netflix.
Quote unquote experts and movie theater owners are going to put a limit at 20. They were talking about it this morning. It was breaking news just as we were about to go on air, as a matter of fact. They are going to put a limit at 20 because they do see the prices going up and up and up and up. 3D movies, we're looking at you. But they're going to put a limit at 20. That's where it's going to stop. So thankfully, we won't see ticket prices going for 22 or whatever, but still, $20?
$20 is going to hurt because you can, you know, check out Netflix.
Yeah, I think that really people are not going to want to go to the movie theaters because it's so expensive. They'll just be waiting to get what's
as I always do.
Rentals.
Let's bring it to reality.
Yeah.
How about if you're a student who doesn't have time to work because of your class schedule? Where are you going to get $20 from? How much do books cost?
Hundreds.
You go. How much are supplies nowadays?
Expensive.
Yeah.
Parking, room and board of eating.
Yeah.
Although, you eat, what do you call those
top
things?
Top ramen.
Yeah, those things, but still.
I mean, going to a movie months. Is like a kid's top, his grocery list right there.
I mean, going to the movies, not just for students, for everyone. It's a way to escape the daily grind of classes, your job, whatever it is. But if you don't, especially in the economy we're in right now, if you don't have $20, let alone $100 to live, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
So, again, limit is going to be set at $20, but still.
I think they should just lower the prices.
Or
I mean,
even, like, do a deal like, if you spend $20, you get this food voucher or whatever, two for 20. Two people
you ought to be a manager
bucks.
In a movie theater.
That's true, right? You should. Let's get your resume and we'll jump around places. I mean, that's a good, you brought up a good point. If they're going to be charging $20, then they
that's a veiled way of saying, get out of my show.
Really? You want me to get off the show?
Not you. Her.
Listen, ADD.
I don't have ADD. I do not have ADD. What?
Just anyway, so yeah, that's, like I said, it was breaking this morning as we were about to go on the air. Now, speaking of movies, the big event for them, for the movie makers, hang on, movie makers is what? Oscar night?
Yeah. Academy Award nights.
In 2013, it may move back to Mondays, because now it's on Sundays. But a long time ago, Galaxy Far, Far Away, it used to be on Sunday nights. I mean, on Monday nights. In 98, 99, somewhere around there, moved to where it is now, and it's become a big event on Sunday nights, and you see the red carpet events like 2 hours before, and then the actual thing goes on. It may be moving to back to Monday nights starting in 2013, only because the NFL may be moving to an 18-week schedule, which I say, no, don't do it.
Yeah. Well, eventually they're going to have to move to a Monday night because there's going to be a lot of people tuning into football. And so that just seems like it'd be the reasonable decision.
But also, I kind of like football Monday nights.
Yeah, but doesn't the Oscars happen in March, however?
Uh-huh.
See,
yeah,
football's long over by then. The Super Bowl's in February. Although, with the 18-game schedule, we may be moving into the first week in March.
Again, why are they going to do this?
Because the 18-week schedule, you know, it's going to go 18 weeks, and then, you know, after that is the playoffs, and then the championship games, then 2 weeks in between the Super Bowls.
Is it because they're going to add two more, you know, games for preseason?
Two more teams, actually, is what they want to do, is the ultimate goal. And you want to, because when you, there's what, 32 teams right now. When you add another two teams, you're going to have to even it out, the schedule.
Yeah.
So that everybody gets to play your division rivals twice a year. And also that you have an even amount of home and away games.
Yeah.
But still, I know a lot of players. Like I said, I got actually one of the hybrids, one of the geeks who actually excelled at sports, and it got me free education in a major university playing football. So I know a lot of the guys who play in the NFL, and they tell me they don't like it at all. Number one, because you just can't last 18. I mean, 16 weeks is hard enough, and you want to go into the Super Bowl, and if you, that's what drives you,
mm-hmm.
the fact that you may get to the Super Bowl those extra 4 weeks. But 18 weeks straight, Do away with training camp or do something. But again,
they're getting paid a lot of money, so they obviously got to work two more weeks.
Yeah. So, yeah, and Dave says they're going to cut two games from the preseason and add two games to the regular season.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's right. It's going to happen. It's just a question of when. See, and this new commissioner, Roger Goodell, he's doing making a lot of changes.
Yeah.
You and I were talking about that the other day over lunch about the playoff rule change.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all. You do for some reason. I don't know why.
I
don't. See, cause again, I played. My thought is if your defense is good enough, stop him. That's the only way you're going to touch the ball. And if you don't, you don't deserve to go to the Super Bowl.
You are right about that. I mean, but again, they're taking the rules from now it's a sports show.
that's fine. I mean, we got a lot of people who are going to be playing fantasy football and playing still the Madden 2011.
Well, they're taking the idea of, you know, overtime rules from the college and just taking it and putting it into the NFL. Personally, I like it, but we'll have to see. I mean, if it's going to backfire, I mean, you are right about that. Certain teams are probably not going to want to play defense because they're just going to rely on. If the opposing team scores three, they're just going to, all right, we'll give them 3 points, and then we'll focus on getting a touchdown to win.
Yeah.
So what's the new rule for the playoffs?
Both teams are going to get a chance to touch the ball in overtime only, not through that. If it goes into overtime, both teams get a chance to touch the ball.
That was everything.
Well, because usually what happens, the way overtime works, in case you don't know, this is like in your game when you play four quarters and when it ends, it's tied, and then you have an extra few minutes to go and you get happy because you get more Madden graphics and all that. But everybody who plays, you know what I'm talking about. When you go into overtime, usually it's decided by the coin toss. Whoever gets the possession, you're going to drive down, and even with a field goal, you're going to win it.
Yeah.
This time, a field goal means you don't win the game.
But
you kick off again, and the other team gets a chance.
I think that takes away a lot of from the excitement of football itself.
It just takes away from the purpose of football. It's like basketball, like, or even like soccer, just doing a penalty kick. I don't like it.
Yeah, again, it goes back to the same thing I was saying. I mean, having played football, and again, a lot of the players I know, a lot of they're retiring, obviously, but I know a lot of the players who are playing in the NFL, and they tell me they don't like, number one, the 18-game thing, and they don't like this playoff rule change, overtime change, because like I said, if you're that good a if you're in a championship game, Vikings, we're looking at you. If you're in a championship game and you're playing supposedly the best team in the NFL, the Saints, and you can't stop them, you have no business being in the Super Bowl.
Or winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to play some football.
I'll tackle you.
It's on.
That's a tough one. Tackle me. Now we're talking. So that's how did we get the NFL? Oh, because the Oscar may move because of the NFL schedule change. They may move it to the televised portion to Mondays starting in 2013. And I guess that's also when the NFL change is going to take place. So we'll see what happens with that. Scream 4, it's coming. And it also adds Anna Paquin and Kristen Bell to the cast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also the script right now stands at 140 pages, which equals to roughly about 2.5 hours.
Now, as a storyline, I mean, I haven't looked at the script or seen any buzz about it.
Do you really have to? I mean, Wes Craven, love you. You're a great movie maker, but do you really have to look at the script for Scream 4?
I mean, he should have just... Well, Scream 1 was phenomenal, right?
Yeah.
And then again, just like how you start making 2, 3, and 4, just kind of... Or 2 and 3, just kind of, all right, I'm tired of Scream. I think he should have started a new movie completely, but having it be Scream 4...
Well, you know what it led to, those Screams, is those satire movies.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, Scary Movies, and 1, 2, what are they on now? Like a bunch of other...
And even, well, it was Date a serious movie, yeah. But, you know, that also brought out the... what's that one? The one we just had in 3D last year. Supposedly it was the last one. We got another one. Final Super. Destination.
All right.
It brought those kind of movies out also.
There's a 5... Final yeah. Destination coming out.
Thought the last one was the final one.
Yeah, but this
the
is
final the, destination.
They're like, oh, but wait, one more.
As long as, but if we make more money, it won't be the final destination.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's what's going on. The one I don't like, obviously, is the not the Oscar one, but the NFL change. I really don't like that. And but like Romo said, it's not a sports show. There's plenty of shows on Talk Zone that talk about sports. You can listen to those and argue the points, the merits of. Extending the schedules.
Yeah.
I still say no, though. So when we come back, we'll talk about what we specialize in. Mainly, there was one show that all of us, if you call yourself a geek, you really, really, really like, except if your name is Angel. I think you know what show I'm talking about. We'll talk about that when we come back.
GeekSpeak Radio Show will be right back. Raising the speed limit on the information superhighway. TalkZone.com.
The first step on the road back to reality.
You're listening to the Geek Speak Radio Show on TalkZone.com.
And we're back on the Geek Speak Radio Show, talking news of the day. It's time to talk about a TV show that, if you call yourself a geek, you know exactly what it is, or what it is, and all your theories and everything. If you call yourself Angel, you have no idea what we're going to talk about right now.
It's Lost, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, because she's already lost.
She already has that lost look on her face. Now, before we go to the island, you guys ever heard of a show called The Rockford Files?
No.
I do, probably our producer Dave, he probably remembers it. It's supposed to be revived for as a TV show again, starring Sawyer, Josh Holloway, in the lead role. So that, there's no confirmation of that, it's just a maybe. Sticking with Lost former members, Michael Emerson, Ben, he'd still like to be in True Blood, of course his real life wife, Carrie Preston, she plays Arlene Fowler on True Blood, so there may be a little role for him there. So there's a couple of things going on. And yes, both of them, Terry O'Quinn and Michael Emerson, are still shopping around a TV script to both star in. Mm-hmm. They'll write it, but they'll both also star in it. Not exactly sure what it will be, but somebody please pick them up because we love watching those two together on screen. So when you came in this morning, Romo.
Yeah.
First thing I had you do was pop in the Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
We went right to where everybody went to yesterday when it came out, or when was it, Tuesday, whenever it came out.
Yeah.
And that is the extra 12, 14 minutes, the epilogue, as we call it, the new man in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you first. Well, wait, I haven't done this in a while for Lost. So, in case you haven't popped it in yet and seen it, hold on a second.
Spoiler alert.
That felt good. Haven't done that in a while for over Lost stuff. But because we are going to give a few spoilers on what you saw. So the first thing, I heard you.
Yeah.
Over there in the another little area over there. But what was the first reaction you had when you watched that thing?
All right. So they talked about the Dharma Initiative and who they were and why their polar bears were there and what Room 23 was about. But the end of the, but what I got was, okay, they're doing experiments on animals, and, but only it only made me question, were they doing experiments on us, human beings, given, you know, the people that were on the island? So for me, I'm like, okay, so they're doing experiments, but then, again, it left more questions as far as what were they there in the first place? Were we the experiment? I mean, there was just
one question that it raised for me when I watched it. I watched it a couple of times now, but one question that it raised for me, and I don't like the fact that it raised that question because now it throws the whole TV, the whole series into, off. Yeah, who knows where.
Yeah.
Was Jacob real or not then? Because if you remember when they went into room 23, the video says that these experiments are also to explain why they worship an island deity they called Jacob, mm-hmm. which means they probably didn't think it was real. And so that little section there kind of threw me off. And a lot of people a lot of Lost fans I've talked to them, they kind of threw them off also.
Yeah.
When that came in. The main thing I wanted to ask you though is the end of the new man in charge. Again, I played the spoiler alert, but I mentioned a few weeks ago that I had seen it before.
Yeah.
There's a character that we hadn't seen in a while that is in it.
He was there in season one, but.
Yeah, not Mr. Echo either.
Yeah.
It was Walt. He's in the insane asylum where Hurley was at the end, mm-hmm. playing the same Connect Four kind of game. And Ben comes in, the new Richard Alpert, Ben, comes in, takes him out to the Dharma Van. Hurley, the new Jacob, is waiting for him there.
Yeah.
And tells him pretty much at the end, hey, I want to talk to you about a new job, which, as we all know, is to replace him as protector of the island.
Yeah.
They drive away, not into the sunset because it was at night, but you assume going back to the island to leave Walt in charge. Now, go to the series finale.
Uh-huh.
May 23rd, when the whole nation was there watching it. The very end, you know, obviously, everybody's dead. That's what happened at the end. So, like Hurley says, you were a great number two. Ben says you were a great number one.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, that set up an entire new series. Can we see Walt as the protector of the island now?
Do you think they're going to want to take that chance?
I don't know.
Will it still be Lost? It would raise new questions, a new storyline. It'd be really hard to continue what Lost was into a new TV show. It can't be
I'll
done.
I'll tweet him later. Damon Carlton, they did it again. We're still talking about, I said it Monday, I think. Tuesday was supposed to be closure for all of us because that was the end of Lost.
Yeah.
But it left it wide open, honestly. And I'm going to tweet again. Them later, like I said, and said, you did it again. It's over, but we're still talking about it. Now, the other thing is, about a month before the actual finale aired on TV.
Yeah.
There was an interview that I read, I forget where, but an interview with Damon and Carlton where they both said that they had been approached by ABC to continue Lost.
Yeah.
Not the series, but spin-offs. They would say they would let it gestate for a year or so, just sit there and let everybody, you know, take it in. But then they didn't talk movies. They didn't want to do a movie, but they did want to do spin-offs.
I wouldn't do a spin-off.
Well, just because they were already showing their desperateness.
Yeah.
Because they know there's a big, huge gap.
Yeah, I mean, NBC did that spinoff thing, and they were really desperate after Friends went off the air, and they did a spinoff with Joey. I mean, everyone can remember that. I watched it. But it was horrible. Again, I just don't want them to do a spinoff on Lost because I feel that they're just going to – it's going to turn off a lot of people and probably ruin the nostalgic – you know, ruin that feeling that we all have with Lost. And then we're probably going to have a bitter taste of the spinoff, and you know, it probably
something we're doing right now, talk radio.
Yeah.
That was a spinoff of Cheers, and that one worked for a while.
Wait, what? Oh, talk radio. Oh, all right. Oh, the actual TV show. Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about the movie,
Mr. ADD over here.
No, all right. Well, I guess that worked. Okay, there's only certain exceptions to the rule, and that is there's no rule.
But then there's the other side of that,
and
Three's Company.
Yeah.
The original. That everybody loved that one. What about when Jack was married and moved in I don't remember if he was married or not, Jack Tripper. But Three's a Crowd. That didn't work at all.
I mean, after the Cosby Show went off the air, there was two spinoffs. There was A Different World, and then there was another one, the Cosbys.
Yeah.
I mean, doing a spinoff on Lost, it can't hurt them, but it can... It can
backfire.
It can backfire, yeah.
I think it's going to be, if they do it, it's going to be like The Matrix. Lost is a show like Inception, like The Matrix, that should be just left alone. Yeah, we question a lot, but that's the point. That's what makes us, it'll stay with us forever. Long after, with Inception, long after we forget Last Airbender and all those movies. With Lost, long after we forgot who won American Idol last season or Dancing with the Stars 2 seasons ago, we'll still be talking about Hurley and Jacob and the Man in Black and the Smoke Monster and all those things. They become a part of our pop culture, like Star Wars, Star Trek, everything else that has.
Yeah.
So if they do it again.
I agree.
With Matrix, same thing. If they had just left it as, you know, with Neo flying away.
Would have been great.
Yeah. To this day, you would have been talking about, so what do you think happened? Did you beat the computers or what happened? Instead
yeah,
of like,
I agree.
I don't like the second or the third one.
Right. I totally agree.
I mean, I really think, even though I haven't really completely seen Lost, I'm only on episode 2, season 1. I really believe that a lot of spinoffs really don't make it. And I feel like the whole point of Lost is to keep questioning and continue. And I feel like if they add on a spinoff, people might be like, oh, there's some answers right there that are relevant to Lost. And I think it's just going to ruin the purpose and the flow and the texture of Lost and what it is.
Leave people lost and confused.
Just leave people lost in general. That's good, because then they can possibly create their own stories. They can keep guessing and adding on things in their own imagination.
And probably use that imagination and put it and channel into a new TV show.
Or even what I used to do when I used to watch Batman, like watch the episodes, like I would question, oh, what happened right after? I would go write about it, make up my own story.
Uh-huh.
You know, add my own little fiction.
And that is the definition of a geek.
Yeah.
But that also brings up the obvious question. Is there any TV show out there now existing that can replace Lost, or what could replace Lost?
Well, nothing's going to replace Lost. There's nothing that can compare to Lost. I think there's only going to be...
I was going to sing the theme, but I won't. Fringe.
I know that, but Fringe is going to be Fringe. It's not going to be Lost. I mean, there's only going to be one Lost. There's only going to be one Fringe. It's like saying...
Well, that should be more clear. When I say replace Lost, I don't mean, you know, completely replace it, but just take its place as our show, quote unquote.
That would be Fringe. I mean, we're going to see it with season 3. I think this is going to be the big explosion for people. People are going to be like, wow, Fringe. Great show.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get some of the people on, the cast, obviously, but some of the writers, Ortsman and what's his name? And Orky on here. And see if they feel pressure now that they know that people, our audience, the geek crowd, we're looking for our next show. And do they feel the pressure to live up to that, those standards?
Yeah.
And same thing with all the new show, all the genre shows, V especially, do they feel even more pressure now? I mean, and they got to really feel the pressure because they had, their leading was Lost, the final season, and they still couldn't get ratings. Mm-hmm. Not enough, well, it was enough to keep them afloat, but if they don't get any now, they're gone. But even with the leading from Lost, they still couldn't get the ratings. So do they feel the pressure now to take that spot from Lost as our show?
I think they're getting a lot of hype though. I mean, it's going to help them.
Yeah. And
get those ratings.
I'll talk about it a little bit tomorrow. We got some guests tomorrow, so I may not have time, but I'll mention it. I got invited to a special event, a special screening tonight at a theater here in San Francisco, the IMAX theater. The only one we have here. It's for a TV show called The Event that you told me about.
Oh, The Event.
I'm going to get to see the pilot and the stars and the creators are going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And this show, again, I had doubts about it. That's probably why they invited me, so I can, they can erase those doubts. But this is supposed to be sort of a, figure out what's going on kind of show. I mean, and you're supposed to question everything, but I'll see, like I said, but shows like that to make it obvious in your face. Okay. We're going to be the new Lost.
Yeah,
you got a question. They're lost already.
Well,
no pun intended.
Just like what Happy Town did. Remember Happy Town? It only lasted, what, episodes or three?
2 hours, you mean. Yeah, but
again,
when Angel mentioned
that WonderCon.
Angel mentioned the event, when was it, a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
That's the first thing I said. I've seen the trailers and the plot synopsis. It reminded me a lot of Happy Town. There's a mystery and you don't know what it is, what's going on. It also reminded me a lot of one of the teasers of the Shyamalan-produced movie Devil.
Devil.
Yeah, some of the scenes reminded me of that, where you don't know who's good, who's what, or why they're there.
Huh.
And reminded me, another Doom show, of Flash Forward.
Yeah.
Speaking of Doom shows. So again, I'm going to see it tonight. I'll talk about it a little bit tomorrow, maybe not too much because we have some guests and it will be pretty filled up. So
it feels like people are just desperate to get something to replace Lost or to get it to point.
Not even that. It's just where people like us, we're just tired of stupid reality TV shows.
Not really.
Yeah, we are. Well, I can say that I'm tired of that.
No, who's, I agree.
Whose reality is that anyway?
It's not mine.
Who came up with the term reality? That's what I want to know.
Real World. Remember Real World from on MTV?
No.
Started off in New York. They had the whole seasons lasting like, what, 23 seasons? And now they're like somewhere like, what? I don't know. Chicago?
I don't know. I guess.
They've been everywhere.
I'll take your word for it.
But, I mean, that's what started the reality TV shows.
My nieces are from that generation. And I sat down with them once and I should say tried to watch it. I couldn't last two seconds in it.
It's garbage.
It's not just garbage.
It's stage reality.
Number one, yeah, there's no, well, supposedly there's no script. Yeah, I can believe that. And especially the what's the one of the islands, Survivor?
Yeah.
Like you're supposed to believe that they're out there on their own. Yeah, so how'd the camera get there? They're not out there on their own.
Right.
So yeah, I just don't care really about the quote unquote reality shows. And the contest slash reality shows like American Idol and all those things. I have, you know, haven't done radio pretty much all my life. I have a lot of friends in the music industry also. And, you know, off camera, off mic, they do tell me they don't like the American Idol thing because I saw what it took them to get to where they are, the hard work that it took. And now, you know, just some kid can come in and just do something really dumb. All of a sudden he's famous just because he did something dumb on American Idol.
Yeah.
And it completely takes away everything, all the hard work that they are putting in, you know, pounding the pavement, doing your demo tapes. Yeah, show my age, demo tapes. Your demo MP3s, I guess, they you know. But they don't have respect for those kind of shows. I don't either. Dancing with the Stars, same thing. Who cares? Those Jerry Rice, I didn't like that. I'm not a 49er fan, but I lived here in San Francisco when they were going through the glory years, the Super Bowl years.
Yeah.
To me, he was like Superman, Jerry Rice. Because, you know, Joe Montana would throw it. He would just fly up in the air, one hand, touchdown. When he did he lost all credibility with me.
Yeah, it's like being on that show, you kind of lose your light for being who you were, what made you. And now that you do it, you're just, oh, you're a pansy, you dance. Oh, that's cool.
Well, I didn't think that, but okay.
I mean, for me personally, Jerry Rice or even Emmett Smith or any, you know, they all been on.
Oh, Joe Cinco.
Yeah, and it just for me, it puts a different light on you. And you're like, you know, you're not that athlete that I thought you were. All right, go dance. Are you going to go dance on the field now, Ocho Cinco?
Yeah, he does. He gets fined for it, though. It's probably why he did it, because he doesn't get fined on Dancing with the Stars. So there you go. There's some news of the day. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show, and we'll tell you what's coming up later tomorrow, later in the week.
GeekSpeak Radio Show. We'll be right back. We're just a lot of talk. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure, TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. And now, more of the Geek Speak Radio Show on TalkZone.com. Here's Henry and Romo.
Yes, here we are. Henry, Romo, Angel, Damon, somewhere here too. Oh, right here next to me. Scared me. Not that he's ugly or anything. So we're talking about.
I think he is kind of ugly.
Okay. Oh. News of the day.
Pizza Summit.
Pizza Summit. No. You know, I'm gonna have to send the doctor bill to you because of all your pizza summits. I've got clogged arteries now.
Oh no.
So I'm gonna send you the doctor bill for that.
We can order without cheese next time.
No, then it's not a pizza. And it's just a piece of dough. Might as well just eat Play-Doh if that's the case. Exactly. So anyway, okay. Hi, we're here. Don't mind us while we babble. Welcome back to the Geek Speak Radio Show. We're all here. We're talking about news of the day, casting news, breaking news. We had some of those. The tech news actually was pretty interesting for us today. I'm still thinking about that, the cap. What is it called? The glow cap?
Yeah.
That's a glow cap.
That tells you, hey, time to take your pills. Well, but I still think that's just for seniors.
Yeah.
Although Romo over here, Mr. ADD, does have a lot of senior moments, so that could help you.
Take your pills, your ADD pills.
I don't even have ADD, guys.
I know.
See, he forgot that he told us the whole show that he has ADD.
Sure you don't.
So one more piece of news before we wrap up for the day. You guys ever heard of the name Steven Spielberg?
Yeah.
Alex Kurtzman, Roberto Orci. How about those guys?
Yep.
They wrote, helped create and write Fringe. They produced that also. They worked with some little TV show called Lost. You may have heard of it, especially last segment. And a producer, Josh Friedman. They plan on turning Lock and Key. A lot of people out there are getting excited because you know this comic book. Lock and Key, they want to turn it into a TV franchise, a TV show, in other words. That was announced yesterday. No set plans yet or what network or anything yet. But Steven Spielberg, Alex Kurtzman, Roberto Orci, we're there. All that's missing is JJ, but still.
Do you think it's going to be successful just because those guys are attached to it?
Yeah.
No. All right, we'll see what it does. I hope it doesn't ruin the actual comic.
It won't.
You never know.
I do.
Well, you've seen trailers for it.
Don't have to.
That's like a dream team right there. What are you talking about?
Well,
just like we know nothing about Super 8, but look at the names attached. JJ.
No, I'm just getting to a point where
look like, at the two stars.
Just because of people's names are on it, do you think people are just going to go and? I mean, they're going to go yes. see it, but do you think it's going to be good?
Well, no, I don't know if it's going to be good or not, but because of the names that are attached, yeah, that's why people go to the movies.
I mean, yeah, all right.
Why was that last weekend in San Francisco here? What was that preseason, mind you, game sold out at Candlestick Park?
Because Brett Favre.
That's what I mean.
All right, prove my point. That's all I wanted.
Yeah, and to prove your other point, just because of the name doesn't mean it's going to be good. Look at his performance. Thank you. You knew I had to get that in there.
Little jab to the old man. Uppercut.
Now, I said I was going to tease some of the things that are coming up. Tomorrow we are packed with guests. We have Ken Denmead. He's the Geek Dad, literally, and he also wrote a book called Geek Dad. He writes a blog called Geek Dad for Wired magazine. It's hooked up on GeekSpeakRadioShow.com. He will be on tomorrow. We're also not going to give it away. There's a surprise coming for you guys there, but I'll give you a hint. There's a movie being released tomorrow. Angels kinds of movies.
Yeah.
We may have the star, one of them, and the director on tomorrow to talk about it. Again, no confirmation yet. They actually contacted me. We may have them on, so that will be tomorrow. We're also going to have special guests in the studio.
Me? Not just joking.
No, somebody give me honey and tea. No, I have a special guest in studio. It's actually one of Damien's friends. He went to high school with him, and he's also a local comic book artist. And he's going to bring his friend. What does his friend do? Here, jump on the microphone real quick, Damien. Tell everybody what's going to happen tomorrow.
His friend is a comic book writer.
Script writer, you mean?
Yeah, script writer.
Perfect team. One scripts it, the other one draws it. Absolutely. So they're going to come on. They're going to talk to us. In the second hour, we'll talk about, you know, the kind of work they're doing, what kind of scripts they're coming up with. What it takes for them to get their stuff published and just get some interesting look into the behind the scenes of comics. And then after that, we'll just hang out. We'll talk about maybe more news of the day or, you know, something else, or just talk about the week, because they are like us, real geeks. So we'll just all geek out about whatever it is we're going to geek out about tomorrow. Later on, this month, what's left of it, and also into September, we're going to have here in San Francisco, there is an event, with Star Wars. There's a museum called The Zeum here in San Francisco. It's a pretty cool little place. It's designed for kids, but even big kids like Romo like going there and playing with all the toys that are there. In September, one of the first weekends in September, or Labor Day weekend actually, they're going to do an event with Lucasfilm called the Star Wars, The Clone Wars event, where you get to fight with lightsabers. You're good at that.
Yeah.
I'm better though. If you get to do that, there's going to be characters from the Clone Wars cartoons, not the cartoons, but you know, somebody dressed as them and represent us from Lucasfilm. Next week, we're going to have representatives from Zeum and Lucasfilm on here to tell us about the event. Also, something I really want to go to, not here in San Francisco, but in Florida. Any of you guys ever heard of Harry Potter?
Mr. Potter? Yeah.
The movies, the books?
Uh-huh.
How would you like to walk into
Hogwarts
Castle?
I would love to.
How would you like to sit in that table with the candles floating above you?
And the ghosts flying around?
I would.
Everything.
I know I would.
I would.
Thank you, Damien. Sound a little creepy, but okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to have somebody talk to us about that, about the wizarding world of Harry Potter at Universal Studios in Florida. We're going to have somebody talk to us about that. And no promises, but they said maybe they'll give us a trip to give away.
That'll be nice.
Yeah.
Like I said, no promises because I may just keep it for me. But that's coming up. There's also a movie coming in a couple of weeks. Stars one of those, I could say now, former that guys. You didn't know his name, but every time you saw him, especially if it was a Robert Rodriguez movie, yeah, that guy. I think Romo knows his name.
I know who you're talking about.
Who?
I'm not going to say his name.
Go ahead, say it.
Danny?
Trejo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He may come on because he has a movie finally in the leading role.
Yes.
So he may come on. I've been talking to him about coming on. He's very excited about coming on and talking to you guys about that movie. Also, we kind of mentioned him earlier. There's a guy in charge of one of the biggest franchises in sci-fi right now. Not Star Wars.
You mean Marvel?
No. Sci-fi.
Sci-fi, sci-fi, sci-fi.
Look at the ship that's here on the board.
Yeah, I see it.
The Enterprise.
Are you thinking
Star Trek?
Yeah.
God, no, I got to draw a picture of Mr. ADD over here. But the guy in charge of it, not Damon, JJ, emailed each other back and forth. We may have him on. And we're not just going to talk Star Trek. We will, of course. But we'll also talk his new TV shows, his new projects. I'll try to squeeze some secrets out from Super 8 from him. So we'll see what comes out of that. Also,
tell me more.
Speaking of Star Trek, you guys remember when we had Rod Roddenberry on?
Yeah.
Gene Roddenberry's son. What you guys do?
They're looking for Romo.
Why are they always have to be looking for me? Because I have ADD?
Yeah, you forgot your pills. You didn't have your cat pill.
That's the little cap, actually. Yeah. Telling
them it's an emergency.
You guys are funny.
Who opened the window? Anyway, it's not that hot today. But like I was saying, we're going to have... who was that? What were they talking about? That threw me off.
You guys are talking about JJ.
No, Rod Roddenberry. We're going to have him on again for an hour. He mentioned when we had him on, he mentioned a documentary he's trying to get published, produced and distributed, Trek Nation.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much him trying to get to know his dad through us, the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And so he mentioned on the air that Paramount passed on it. I don't know why. Because if anyone owes Gene Roddenberry a debt of gratitude, it's Paramount for what he gave them in Star Trek. Not just JJ, matter of fact. And he said in many interviews, he owes a big debt of gratitude to Gene Roddenberry, because if he hadn't created that, he wouldn't be JJ in charge of Star Trek. So we'll have him on to talk about that, about Trek Nation. We did the Roddenberry dive team already. There's still a link on geekspeakradioshow.com. So that's what's coming up. And of course, a lot more surprises and us, and we'll have fun. So tomorrow, like I said, a packed show. Be here for that. Till then, I'll try to get a voice and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.